Lord, once again, we thank you for this day. Once again, Lord, we invite your presence in here. Lord, speak to us through your word. Speak into our spirits, Lord, the things of you. Speak into our hearts, Lord, the things you want us to retain. Bless your people this morning, Lord. We come looking for you. We're like David, seeking you in a dry and thirsty land. We thirst for you. We need you, Lord. We recognize who you are. Our Lord, our Savior, able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. Lord, we ask for you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, worship team. You know, many years ago, I had a 1966 Ford pickup. I loved that truck. I just put a new engine in it. And I stood in my living room looking out the window at it, parked in the driveway, admiring it. And the Lord spoke to me. And he said, Wayne, I want you to give away your truck. What do you say? Maybe it just meant a little too much to me. But you know what really means a lot to me is the fact that he spoke to me. Maybe he'll save me. He was probably saving me for something, and I gave it away because I was thinking, well, I'm certainly not going to drive something that he doesn't want me to have. Not the way I drive. If God tells us to do something, what do we do? What if it's not a popular decision? What if it causes problems? What if it offends people? What if it upsets people? What do we have to do? We have to do what we have to do. Robert was talking about handing out tracts. God want you to do that, Robert? I know so. Otherwise, he wouldn't have you doing it. What would happen if you didn't obey him and do that? Yeah. And you know what? There's times when we've all done it. We haven't listened to him. I remember one time I was told to say something, just something simple, to this lady behind the counter at a truck stop in Spokane, Washington. And I didn't do it. I went ahead and I drove to where I had to make my delivery, and all the way there, it burned in me what I had to do, and I went back and I went up to her and I said, I don't normally do this, but God wants to talk to you. She said, I've been feeling that. So there you go. God does speak to us. And we need to listen. Especially when other people's lives or salvation is at stake. Ezekiel in 3:18, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest not him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. What does it mean when God repeats himself? That's the watchman he's talking about. Ezekiel 33:16, he's talking about the watchman again. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. In other words, we have to answer to God. We had a celebration of life for Jim Diekman here last Saturday. And some of you may have heard what happened. I felt led to lead an altar call. And it upset some people that had been invited to it. And it upset the person that invited them. And it upset a friend of the person that invited them. I gave the altar call. I was told. Not told specifically by him speaking, but it was impressed on me to the degree where I knew I had to do it. To him that much is given, much is required. If he's given you a position or if he's given you a calling, you have to be true to it. This church is not here to please people. This church is here to please God. We do what he does. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Those aren't just words we say or that we sing. Isaiah 62:6. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. Speak it. If he's telling you to say something to somebody, say it. It may be something simple. For years when I was driving a truck, I had a CB radio, and about the only time I used it, I'd get up in the morning when I'm leaving a truck stop and I'd turn it on and I'd say just a few words into it. What if it's true? And then I'd turn it off. I didn't need to hear the answer because I didn't want to have to speak to the person. I wanted those words to make them wonder, what's he talking about? Because he's going to think about it all day long, isn't he? At least that's my thinking. Anyway. Isaiah 52:7. You know, this is probably going to be a short sermon this morning because this wasn't the sermon I was preparing. But because, anyway, circumstances, it's the one I'm giving, and there's going to be a lot of scripture. Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Romans 10:14-15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good news, that share the gospel. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. If God tells me to preach the gospel, what do I do? If God tells me to give a certain message, what do I do? If God tells me to give an altar call, what do I do? But what if it offends some people? What if it makes some people uncomfortable? Why are they uncomfortable? Why are they offended? Because they need to hear an altar call. They need to answer an altar call. There's something stirring in them. Of course they're uncomfortable. You know, from a worldly point of view, that's not very good. But from a heavenly point of view, from an eternal point of view, it's very good. It's the power of God. Because the seeds of the gospel has been planted in them, and that's what's making them uncomfortable. If they didn't need it, it wouldn't bother them. How many altar calls have you sat through? What do you usually think when they're giving an altar call? You're thinking, I pray that somebody answers. Or it stays with somebody and it stirs in them and it resonates, I guess is the word. All I was told, I wasn't told not to give an altar call. All I was told was that it had to be joyful. What's more joyful than talking about Jim Diekman being in heaven? What's more joyful than talking about him not being healed, being delivered? What's more joyful than knowing, than being told that you too can have what he has? You can be there. You can have Jesus Christ as your Savior. Psalm 40, verses 8 through 10, that was our opening scripture. And it's funny because after I received a phone call on Wednesday, I went to the Lord and I was asking, was I wrong? I didn't believe I was, but yet I felt I had to ask. And he led me to Psalm 40, verses 8 through 10. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. What was God telling me? I don't know how much it spread about what happened. I don't even really feel I have to justify myself. But I wanted to put some facts out there and what it meant to me. I thought it was timely because I think it's what Jim would have wanted. Jim answered an altar call, and he rededicated his life. We've all, hopefully, answered an altar call. What would happen if I'm told to give an altar call, and somebody gets in their car, and I don't do it, and someone gets in their car, and they drive off, and they get in an accident and die? They're going to hell. Who's going to have to answer for that? I am. I will do as much as is in me, and he'll strengthen me. I will do what the Lord wants me to do. I gave an altar call not too long ago. Robert, do you remember that altar call? You're smiling. An altar call is when you come forward and you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's an opportunity. Yeah. Come forward. You know, God is about invitation. You know how many times the word come is in the Bible? Actually, the first time it's in the Bible, it's in the story of Noah. God didn't say, go into the ark. He said, come into the ark. I want to save you. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He that thirsts, come. He that is sorrowful, he that is full of sin, come. What a beautiful word. There's going to come a time when he's going to tell people, go. And you know where he's telling them to go. And I don't want it to be anybody that ever sits in front of me in a church. Lord, thank you. I'm going to open this up for prayer. We didn't have people praying like we normally do. I wasn't sure why at the time. It's just the way it happened, but it was impressed on me afterwards that it's supposed to be now. I specifically request prayers for this ministry. And also for Gretchen, who is hurting and in a lot of pain. And also for Rita, who is... Rita. So, I'm going to ask you to praise your land. Lord, we thank you. You're such a wonderful God. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for providing a means. Not only that we won't have to go to hell, but that we get to go to heaven and be with you for eternity. Every tear will be dried. Every pain will be gone. And we get to spend eternity loving you and being loved by you. We don't know what it's going to be like, Lord. Your word says that we can't imagine it. Nor are we getting pretty anxious. We kind of want it to be soon, but Lord, I know that you have a purpose. I know it's not going to be until that last one that you're going to save just saved. So maybe, Lord, we need to be reminded that if we work a little harder, that might be sooner. Seems reasonable to me. Lord, I pray that the words that were spoken last Saturday would resonate in the people that heard them. Lord, I'm standing on your word because your word does not return void. You sent it out with a purpose. And Lord, I pray that everyone that was offended by that would come to you. Not so that I could be vindicated, Lord, but so that you could be glorified and your purpose will be fulfilled. Because that's all I care about. And that's all I should care about. People heard your word last week. And your word does not return void. It fulfills the purpose you send it forth to fulfill. Lord, I pray that you'd be with each one of us today as we go our ways, Lord, and just keep us safe and keep us close to you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that whatever changes you make in this ministry, in this church, Lord, we welcome it. Have your way here, Lord. Do your will here. And we look forward to seeing everything that you're going to do. Bless your people today, Lord, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That fulfills our service, or completes our service.